first Shref to Zev, because Zev Kahana was the one. Zev's my inspiration for this year, I have to say. Gotta put that out there. Because first he pushed me to give a shir. And then we spoke about, what were we going to speak about? First we said to speak about Melech, the Malach Chodesh Baruch Hu. And then what did I say? It's about Shofar. Anyway, somehow it turned into Elul and Amalek. This is what happens when you're on a bus ride back from Camp Dora Golding and the bus breaks down. His mom is, I don't think I've been as excited about a shir since probably Lag Bomer. And those of you who may remember the Lag Bomer shir, I was very excited about that. I think there's some really, and this shir is like 24 hours old. I don't pretend to understand. Some things I'm going to say are definitely wrong. Some things are hopefully right. But please jump in if it doesn't make sense. If you have ha'aros at the end, I definitely would like to hear. Do we have any more questions? We're out. Okay, we'll share. Okay, so we know that Elul, right, we come to the final month of the calendar year, Chodesh El. And the whole of Elul is to be making ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, which is the Inyan of Reishis Hashanah. Okay? So we're bringing this chibur together between the Achris Hashanah and the Reishis Hashanah from Elul as a preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Now we know from Kohelis in the 7th Perek, right, Pasuk says, V'gam ezel u'mazeh ha'sel okim, which means that whatever exists in Kedusha, right, it's Newton's law, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Right, Torah Mada, good. Yeah, Yaitse Zayin. Okay, good. Got our Torah Mada for the evening. Right, so it says in Kohelis Zayin Yudalit that for everything in the world of Kedusha, there's something opposite in the world of Tumah, which means that if this is the Achris Hashanah, or being Meichin for the Reishis Hashanah, there has to be something within the Bria at large, right, a force that's going to oppose that. And I want to try to suggest that Amalek might be that force. And now when we think about Amalek, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is Purim, which is okay for this Chavra to have Purim and Elul. Right, we think of Purim. We don't think of Elul. We don't think of Rosh Hashanah. Right? We think of Purim. But the truth is, if you stop and think about it, there's some very obvious connections. What are some of the obvious connections? We know that the calendar year is divided into two halves. You have six summer months and six winter months. And Zohar says that these months were divided between who? Between Yaakov and Esav. Right? Esav has 3 months in the winter, Esav has 3 months in the summer. We're used to thinking, you know, most of the months have a lot of good things to offer, but there are negative months in the Bria. For example, in the summer months, Tammuz, Av, and Elul are Esav's good months. Those are months of Din. Right? What about in the other half of the calendar year? Right? You have Tevis, Shvat, and Adar, which are Esav months. And what happened? Yaakov Avinu somehow stole back 2 months. Which months were stolen back? Adar and Elul. Right? And obviously Esav is not happy with that. And Esav and his entire family are not happy with that because that was his Yerusha. His Yerusha was that he gets certain months. He gets Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Those are his months. And we stole back Elul. And he gets Tevis, Shvat, and Adar, and we stole back Adar. Okay, now who's the Yorish of Esav? Meaning if someone from Esav is going to be upset that Esav's Yerusha was stolen, who's the Yorish of Esav? Who's most true to the mission of Esav? So I think the answer is, it's his grandson. As much as we think of Alipha as Esav's son, the father of Amalek, Amalek being the grandson of Esav, right, we think of Alipha as someone who chased after Yaakov. But the truth is, the Medrash, in source number one, I didn't put the whole Medrash in, but the line right before this says that Alipha was raised by Yitzchak. Alipha wasn't so bad. Even when he chases after Yaakov to kill him, he doesn't do the job. He says, I'll take your money, I'll leave you poor, ani chashav kames. Who's the real spiritual, and in some ways physical, inheritor of Esav? The answer is, it's Amalek. Right, source number one, Betuas Rasha l'chata'as, the Pasuk says, Ze Amalek shegidlu b'cheiko shel Esav. Amalek is the one who carries on the legacy of Esav. And that's why when Esav is about to leave this world, he turns to his trusted grandson Amalek, and he says, it's up to you. I'm putting my mission in your hands. Source number two, the Alkut Shemoni and Parshas Chukas. Amar Esav l'Amalek, kami yagati la'argas Yaakov lo nitin biyadi. How much did I work to destroy Yaakov, to remove Yaakov from this world? Right, or at least, at the very least, to get back that which is rightfully ours. Tein daitcho l'gvos nikmasi. Pay attention and finish the job for me. Right? I want revenge. I'm angry. What is he angry about? He's angry that we stole some of his kochos. We stole Adar, we stole Elul. And that's why, where does a Malik like to attack? We read it not so long ago. We just read it in Parshas Ki Teitzei, in source number 3. Zechor es asher atzalecha Amalek, b'derech aseitzcha Mitzrayim, asher karcha b'derech, v'yizanu b'cha kol nachas sholem acharecha. V'ata ayif yagev lo yari elokim. What's the pshat? What's the pshat that a malik attacks the acharecha? They attack from behind, right? They're attacking the inyan of achers, the achers hashana, which is the inyan of el. Who are they attacking? Who are these weaklings? Rashi explains in source number 4. Kol nechashalom acharecha, chesrei koach machmas chata'am. People who are weak from what? From their sins. If you have to pick a point in the calendar year that we're the most full of sin, it's obviously Elul. Right? Simply just by the numbers. I'm saying we've gone through an entire year. We're waiting to get through this, hopefully a tshuva of Elul, and hopefully to come to Rosh Hashanah in the right way. But the bottom line is, in Elul, our sins have piled up. And we need to deal with that. So this is the time that a malik tries to attack. It's the Achres Hashanah. They attack Me'acharecha. They attack those people who are weakened by their sins. Now the truth is there's two Achres Hashanahs. Because we have a machlokas, when was the world created? That means if there's two Reishis Hashanahs, there has to be two corresponding Achres Hashanahs. The Bar says in Rosh Hashanah, in source number 5, a famous machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, when was the world created? Right, let's take a look. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'ol. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Tishrei is the time the world was created, B'tishrei Noldo Avos, B'tishrei Mesu Avos. Okay, it goes through the events of Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua, a few lines later, says, B'nisan Nivra Olam. Okay, very famous machlokas. When was the world created? Is it Tishrei? Is it Nisan? Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Yeshua? What's the significance? Dafka, those Tanayim hold those opinions. Bnei Sasra talks about it. But we know from Tosfos later on in the Masechta, and Dafka Zayin and Aleph, that it's really not so much of a machlokas. Eilu ve'ilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Very machshava dikatosos, in source number 6, Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, seems from the pashas of the Gemara back in the Suya on Daf Yud that we pass them like Rabbi Yeshua, that Nisan's the creation of the world. And at the same time, many of the statements that we say on Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei imply Hayom Baras Olam, today's the creation of the world. And the piyutim seem to conflict, so which is it? It's almost mashma that they're both true. Says Rabbeinu Tam, yes, they are both true. Eilu ve'ilu divrei Elokim Chayim, he says in source number 6. So how does that work? Lamaisa, how does that work? You can't create the world in 2 months. So says Rabbeinu Tam, v'ikol ha'meimar, Divitishrei Allah b'machshava livros v'lo nivra ad Nisan. Tishrei was the creation of the world b'machshava, and Nisan is the creation of the world b'pa'ol b'maisa. Which means that again, that there's two Reishis Hashanahs, that means there's two Achres Hashanahs. The two Achres Hashanahs, if you count from Tishrei, the Achres Hashanah is Elul. If you count from Nisan, the Achres Hashanah is Adar. What are the 2 months? As we're trying to suggest tonight, what are the 2 months that Amalek is sholit? That a malik comes to attack, whenever we're at the back of the year, right? They attack Me'acharecha, they attack the weaklings. I shave it done, I've spoken about it other times. Right? But when is that? It's Dafka in the month of Adar and Elul. Right? It's the Achres Hashanah. The Achres Hashanah according to Rabbi Eliezer is Elul, the Achres Hashanah according to Rabbi Yeshua is Adar. And I think that matches up very nicely with what Rabbeinu Tam said. The destruction that they try to do in Elul, Adar first. The destruction that they try to do in Adar, right before Nisan, Nisan being the time where the world was created, what? B'maisa. So the destruction of Amalek and Adar is going to be what? It's going to be B'maisa. They're going to try to physically destroy us. What about Elul? What about Tishrei? Tishrei is the creation of the world, B'machshava. So it makes sense that the attack of Amalek and Elul is going to be what? It's going to be more of a spiritual attack. Right? It's a spiritual attack. They try to get us to give in to our chatan and to not deal with our chatan in the proper way, to be meichin for the Reishis Lashon. So it all makes a lot of sense. Okay, now already in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right, we see a link between Adar and Elul. Very strange thing. We've all heard this since we were kids. Right? For sure, when you were a little kid, your Mora, your Rebbe was teaching you dinim around the holidays, and you talk about Elul, ani l'dodi v'dodi li. You say over a couple of Ramazim. We don't have a clue what we're talking about when we're little kids. We get a little older. Maybe we start to think about these things a little bit. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down chapter 128. Harav of the native Rav Yitzchak Luria, that's the Arizal, Zechorno Lebracha, Kasav. Vasher lo tzida ve'elokim ina liyado v'samti l'cha. Rashi Tevos Elul. Right, by Yenir Mikla. Moshe Wolfson spoke about it here in Shivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan a couple years ago. If you never heard that here, it's unbelievable. It's on Y'i Torah. Very kedai to hear. Spoke about the Inyan of Elul as Yenir Mikla. Lomar ki chodesh zehu eis ratzon lekabel tshuva al chatan shasu b'chol hashana. Another remez. V'gam remez shegam al shkago tzarach lasos tshuva b'chodesh zeh. Right? Your miklat, the inyan of killing b'shoge, we made mistakes, we can fix them. Another remez. Od amru darshi reshumos. Umal Hashem lokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha. Es levavcha ves levav. Rashi tevas elom. Okay? A third remez, we all know. Ani ledodi v'dodi li. The fourth one is the most puzzling one. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch gives a very simple explanation as to what this fourth one is. What's the fourth one? Ish l'rehayu matanus l'vyonim. What does that have to do with El? Rosh Hashanah was El. What does that have to do with El? Since when does Purim have anything to do with El? So Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, you know, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Right? So this is the Indian of tzedakah. But I think if we understand that there's this very strong relationship between Adar and El, the 2 months that were stolen away from Esav, stolen away from Amalek, right? The 2 months that represent Achris Hashanah, the thing that Esav is still, all these years later, he's still fuming about, and he wants to take back. Right? So now you understand the stronger link. Why, Dafka, you have to have a remez for the month of El, where? By Purim. Makes a lot of sense. Now, we know every month has a lot of letters associated with it. Right? Look in B'nai Sassar, every month has a specific letter. When it comes to El, B'nai Sassar talks about not so much the letter Yud, which is what Sefer Yetzirah brings down. He talks about two other letters. What two letters does the B'nai Sassar talk about? The Arizal writes in Eitz Chaim that if you take the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, and you spell out the letters, right? Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, right? Dalet, Dalet, Lamed, Tav, Nun, Nun, Vav, Nun, Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet. You spell out each letter. They each produce three other letters, right? You have a total of 12 letters. You spell out Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, you have 12 letters. And the Arizal writes in Eitz Chaim that each one of those letters corresponds to a particular month. So we start from the beginning of the year, counting from Nisan. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, is Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Right? Makes sense? Is making sense? Tell me if it's not. Right? Dalet. How do you spell Dalet? Here we're spelling out Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. How do you spell Dalet? Dalet, Lamed, Tav. So Tammuz, Av, Elul, is Dalet, Lamed, Tav. So the letter of Elul is Tav. That's what the B'nai Yisrael brings down based on that Arizal. And then the B'nai Yisrael says, in Maamar Aleph, he says a second letter associated with Elul, and that's the letter Ayin. How do you get the letter Ayin? So we know every month has an action associated with it. Right? The action for the month of Tammuz is Re'iyah. The action for the month of Av is Shmiyah. Right? The Meraglim we're seeing in Tammuz. B'nai Yisrael, we're listening to the reports in Av. You have Re'iyah, you have Shmiyah. And then you come to what? You come to Elul, which the B'nai Yisrael says, based on the Sefer Yetzirah, is Maisa. It's Asiyah. It's Asiyah. It's an Ayin. So the two letters, he says, of Elul, that he wants to focus on, the B'nai Yisrael says, are Ayin and Tav. Ayin and Tav. The Tav of the Dalet Lamed Tav, and the Ayin of Rishon Ayin, which could spell Russia, but it could also spell something else. The B'nai Yisrael says, Tammuz and Av, Dalet and Lamed, Dal means poor, means weak. Right? Pathetic, broken. That's how we feel in Tammuz and Av. Rishon Shin, Tammuz and Av again, also Rash means what? Poor. What happens? Comes Elul and adds another letter. All of a sudden, Dalet and Lamed, Dal, so poor, becomes Delis. It becomes a Psicha. It's an opening to Tshuva. And what happens with the Resh and the Shin? You add an Ayin, it becomes a Shar. Right? Ben Yisrael says, that's what we're davening by the Slichos. What do we say? Kedalim ukerashim dafaknu dalasecha. Like one who's Dal and one who's Rash, like someone who's poor and broken, we come to what? We come to your Delis. We come to the month of Elul and now we have an opening. Right? We say at the very end of the process at Yom Kippur, right? Give us a shar, give us a delas, give us an opening. And he says, when you understand the ayin and tuf, you understand why Elul is such a what? An eis ratzon. You have the ayin and tuf creating an eis ratzon. He says that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. Ve'eschan el Hashem ve'eis ha'ilei mor. Ve'eis ha'ilei mor. He says, what's the leimor? Leimor means say it over. Tell the future generation that there's an opening. There's a way back. Moshe is davening to get into Eretz Yisrael. We'll see. We'll talk a little later how Eretz Yisrael and Tishrei are very much connected. We're davening to get into Eretz Yisrael, just like we're davening to get into Tishrei. We're preparing to get into Tishrei. But I was thinking, right? I was thinking, you know, the whole avodah of Elul is to change ourselves. It's to start over, to recreate ourselves, to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in literally rebuilding ourselves. So it's interesting, the gematria of Ace, Ayin and Tav, is the gematria 470, which is the same as Nasa Adam. Why? Because the whole of Avodah Elul is Nasa Adam. That's what we're doing. We're recreating ourselves. We're bridging, we're building with Hashem. Nasa Adam. Let's work together. Right? Now, Nasa Adam is a dangerous statement that the Torah said. Let us make man. It almost sounds like there's Shnei Rishuyos, which is exactly what Amalek believes. Amalek wants us to imagine that Hashem's not the Rishus, right? Amalek's the Rishus. Rishus Gaim Amalek. We'll talk about that. So therefore, if you take the Gematria, again, this is where, I don't know if you want to call it, I have tremendous Hashkacha finding things for this year. I'll just leave it at that. If you spell out Amalek in Miloy, spell out the name Amalek, Ayin, Ayin Yud Nun, Mem, 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 Lamed, Lamed, Mem, Dal, right? Spell out Amalek, it's also Gematria 470. Because Amalek comes to misnagi to the Ayin and Tav of Elul. They try to steal away this Ace Ratzon from us. An opportunity for Nasa Adam, let us make man. Amalek makes a joke at us, how many gods do you have? Right? But for us, Nasa Adam means no, we're going to partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu to do something real this year. Right? We're going to rebuild ourselves. We're going to take advantage of El to recreate ourselves. So now I think we have a little bit of understanding how Amalek becomes, again, that Zel Umazeh of the Rishis. Now you look at source number 8. Bilam gives his prophecy. He says his mashal, as it's called in the Pasuk. And he says, Rishis Goyim Amalek. Right? Rishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek believes that the Rishis is theirs. They're going to do everything they can to stop us from getting to Tishrei, which is our Rishis. Our Rishis Hashem. And they're going to do whatever they can to attack Me'acharecha. They're going to attack us from behind. But the reality is, what they fail to realize, right, is that Achriso Ade Oved. That the Achris is really going to destroy them. The way that we perform our Avodah in the month of Adar and Elul, right, in the end, they're going to lose both Achris. We're going to walk out of here with our Adar and Elul. But it takes some Avodah and it takes some preparation. It's not so pashut that Elul is automatically ours. Again, it's stolen property on some level. We have to earn it. We have to understand what the Avodah of Elul is, whether it's the Nasa Adam, right, or other ideas as we'll discuss. But Elul is not so pashut that Elul is ours. We don't just take it for granted that Elul is ours for the taking. And the reason that it's not so posh is because Esav has his chus. Esav and Amalek have his chus. What's the chus of Esav? What's the chus of Esav? Everyone knows the chus of Esav. The chus of Esav is what? It's kibud avim. Kibud avim. Right? The Medrash tells us in Devarim Rabba, source number 9, Amar Rishon ben Gamliel, lo kibud bria es avosav kamo ani es avosai. Rishon ben Gamliel says, I was the greatest in kibud avim, or at least that's what I thought for a while. Umatsasi shekibud Esav lo'aviv yosem imeni. And then I realized that Esav is far greater than me in Kibud Av Ve'im. The Zohar echoing a similar comment, Pasach Rav Yesa, source number 10, Ben Yechavid Av Ve'Eved Adonav. Who does this refer to? Ben, Da Esav. De Lo Ava Barnash Ba'alma De Yoker Lavoi Kamo De Okir Esav Lavoi. There's no one on the planet. There's no Barnash, there's no human being on the planet who ever honored his father the way that Esav honored his father. And because of that kavod that he gave to his father, to Yitzchak, he's sholeit in this world. He has a place in this world. Esav has a kalach. It's a serious kalach, and it's a serious threat to us. It's not so posh that we can walk out with an elul, and Esav just sits by quietly. If anything, Esav dafka puts up quite a fight over elul. Okay, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the next verse. You'll see something really amazing. Right. How do you know that Amalek, first of all, also had this midah of kibud av ve'im? Again, we're working with Amalek being the one who was raised, like the Medrash said, b'cheikos shel Esav, more so than Alifaz, right? Alifaz was a little more loyal to the true mission of Yaakov and Yitzchak. How do you know that Amalek is shy of the kibud av ve'im? The Pasha says he taught him. What do you mean? He was megadolin, right? But it's more than that. Tamaram is in his name itself. And we know that every halach in the Shulchan Aruch, said many times from Rav Tzadik, Machshavas Charuto, Tesvav, every halach in the Shulchan Aruch, every siman in the Torah, right? Everything that was written by the early authorities was written with the Ruach HaKodesh. Which means that if a particular halacha falls out in a particular siman, or if the Sefer HaChinuch counts a particular mitzvah in a particular location, there's a reason for it. There's always a very precise reason for it. Amalek is Gematria 240. Where are the halachas of Kibud Av Ve'im found? The halachas of Kibud Av Ve'im are found in Yardaya, siman 240, Reish Mem. So Amalek has a sheichus to the Indian of Kibud Av Ve'im. Right? Amalek is the continuation of Esav. It's a continuation of Esav's midah of Kibud Av Ve'im. That's where he gets his hand, so to speak. He says, I'm sheich to this halacha. I have a schus. It's not so possible we can just walk out with an elul. And this, I think, explains the Zohar Chadash that I'm sure many of us have heard. We've heard this in the past. Look, this is Pilei Plum. Take a look at this. It's Mamash right in front of us. Right? The Zohar Chadash, or Simon spoken about in the past, I'm sure many people here have heard this Zohar Chadash. In Elul, Ki Teitei L'Mochama, we go out to war. And we see what? We see a beautiful woman. We see the Isha Sifas Tor. Who's the hostage that we're trying to take as we go to war in Elul? We're trying to capture Elul itself. What's the mazel of Elul? What's the mazel of Elul? The Besula. Right? The woman. We're trying to capture this woman. We want to take Elul with us. And we're running out. We've taken our captive. We've gone to war. We've battled the Yitzhara. We're trying to be making ourselves for the Rishis Hashanah. And as we're running away, all of a sudden the Malik and Esav say, whoa, 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 where are you going with? Where are you going with the Besul? Where are you going with our Elul? Elul was our Matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What right do you have to take it? And if you'll say we don't have any Zchusim, we do have a Zchus. What Zchus do we have? We have a Zchus of Kibud Av Ve'im. That's our mitzvah. Right? That's our essence. Amalek 240. Kibud Avim, Yoredeas. Siman Reish Mem, 240. And that's what the Torah is describing in source number 12. Right? You take the Ishes of Hastar, and what does it say? Uvachsa es aviyah ve'es ima yerech yamin. She cries over her father and mother for a month. What's the pshat? Says the Zohar Chadash, you've heard it before. Uvachsa es aviyah ve'es ima yerech yamin. What's yerech yamin? Dahi yarcha de'elol. The yerech yamin being described in this pasuk is chodesh elol. But why is it daf? Because she's crying, right? There's a cry over what? Over what? Over aviyah ve'ima. That's the cry of Esav to say what? To say, you can't take Elul so simply. It's not so pushy you can just walk out of here with Elul. I have a connection to Elul. I'm going to cry out and say, it's not fair, it's unjustified. After all, I've served as a via of Esima, I've been loyal to my parents. Right? Dahi yarcha de Elul. That's what the cry is. And it's not so simple that when Esav cries, he's ignored. We've seen Esav cry before. Where have we seen Esav cry before and get his way? When he cries and says, it's not fair. Let's go back to the brachos, verse 14. All right, Yaakov walks out of the room. Esav walks in. He comes up to his father. He says, "Father, it's time for a bracha." His father says, "Who are you? I don't understand what's going on." Ani bincha b'chorcha Esav. I have a shaychus to b'chor. I have a shaychus to reishus. Right? I've been good to my shoresh, to my reishus, to my father. What's going on here? Where's my bracha? Right? Bracha was just b'chor. What's going on here? And what happens when he hears what happens? Esav realizes there's no bracha for him. Pasuk lamed dalid. Kishmoa Esav is divrei aviv, vayitzak tzaka gedola umara ad ma'od. He screams out like never before. Vayomar aviv, what are you talking about? Barchini, gamani aviv, bless me. What does his father say to him? I can't help you. I'm out of brachos. What do you want from me? I'm out of brachos. There's nothing I can do to help you. And Esav gets very upset. He says, "That's why he's called Yaakov. He tricked me again." And then Yitzchak says a little something to Esav. And then what happens? Again, a pasuk lam ches. Vayomer Esav el aviv, habracha achas hilcha avi, barachini gam ani avi. And again he cries out. Vayisa Esav kolo vayev. He cries out. And what happens next? All of a sudden, oh, you're crying now? Vayan Yitzchak avi, vayomer elav. Okay, I'll give you a bracha. What's the pshat? A minute ago there were no brachos left. And Esav starts whining and all of a sudden there's a bracha. I saw once in one of Rav Zev Lev's svar. He says, yeah, that's the kolach of a cry, of a ratzon. A person cries, he creates a bracha. So it's not so simple that when Esav cries out, when the Ishes Yifas Torah, as we're taking our hostage back, we're taking our Elul back, and they cry out, as Aviyah Vesima, hold on a second, what about our Schus? What happened to our marriage? We can't just march out of here, it's not so pashut. So how do we respond to this? Again, the cry of Esav is a very powerful thing. The Or Yitzchak in source 14, or Yitzchak of Radvil, quotes a Medrash, Bishvil Demos Shabacha Esav Amar Bracheni Gam Ani Avi, Zachal L'chol HaTov Hazeh. He was zochet to a lot. The whole koch of Esav comes from that cry. Rav Yitzchak Radvil goes on, I'm not going to do it inside now, you'll take a look later. Why don't our tears that we've cried throughout the generations cancel Esav's tears? Why aren't his tears bottled in our tears? Very interesting passage from the Or Yitzchak. Right? But the pasha says Esav has a real koch of bechia. And again, if he's going to cry over Yerech Yamim, it's not so pasha we're going to walk out with an elf. So how do we respond? So Baruch Hashem, we have a cry also. What's our cry? Our cry is the cry of the shofar. Gemara says in source 16, Seder tekiyos shalosh al shalosh shalosh. Shir tekiyah kishalosh truos. Okay, someone told me too much. How does that work? Shir trua kishalosh yivavos. What's the shir of a trua? It's three whimpers. It's three cries. Right? We also cry a little bit. And the Gemara goes on to have a machlokas exactly what is the nature of this sound, this elusive trua. That we spend so much time trying to figure out exactly what it is. So the Gemara in Source 17, where it's bolded, says, Mar savar gnuche ganach, umar savar yulule yalil. One says it's more like groaning, one says it's more like sobbing and crying. No, what are we talking about here? What's the pneumius of this machlokas? Is it groaning, which Rashi says is a lengthier cry, or is it sobbing, which is like a shorter cry? What's the pshat? What's the pneumius of this machlokas? So again, shofar is the avoda of reishis. Shofar is the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. A malik later on is going to say, hold on, reishis, goyim amalik, we're reishis. Right? We still have that cry, the cry of Esav. The cry of El is not, it's not so pashut El is yours. Who says you're going to get to it, Tishrei? Why are you assuming, why are you taking it for granted that you're going to get to your cry, to the shofar? Right? It's a hemshich of the original fight of Yaakov and Esav, the fight over the Bechor, the fight over the Reishis. And a Malik won't be makabel that they've lost it. Reishis Gaim Amalek. We're the inheritor to the Bechor. They still have a taina against us. They say it's not so simple that you can. So what does Yisim do? In Pasuk Lamed Daled, what does he do? He screams. And in Pasuk Lamed Ches, what does he do? He cries. What's the pshat? Yisim has two ways of crying. He has a longer cry and a shorter cry. What does it have to do with our cry? So it has a lot to do with our cry. I think that's the panemius of this machlokas. Right? Is the ikker cry of Yisim, was it his tzaka? Was it the tzaka gedola? Right? Like the longer explanation, according to one opinion in the Gemara? Or was it the sobbing, was it the vayeif of Pasuk Lamed Ches? Which one's his cry? Right? Because we need to know how we're going to respond to it. If he's going to cry out, we need to have a koach, right? Zelu mazeh for the good. We need to be able to respond to his cry. How are we going to respond? And we come to the shofar, and all of a sudden there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of suffix involved by the shofar. And what's the suffix? Of course, the suffix is a malik. A malik is gematria suffix. A malik comes and starts to try to defend the Yerusha of Esav, tries to defend the cry of Esav, tries to cause some type of bilbul that we shouldn't be able to know, we shouldn't have a clarity, right, as to how to blow the shofar. In Elul and Tishrei, Uvachsa Esaviyah Vasima, he's trying to defend the cry of his grandfather Esav. So what do we do? There's a lack of clarity, there's suffix, there's a mullet. Our cry is getting all confused. How do we respond? How do we walk out with an Elul? How do we respond? So comes along Rabbi Abba in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Daled, and he comes to the rescue. Mamish to the rescue. Iskin Rabbi Abba b'Kesari, Tkiya, Shlosha Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. What, Rabbi Abba, what is this takana of Rabbi Abba? What's he instituting here? Rabbi Abba, Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, you're mixing it all up. What are you doing? Right? If it's Genuchay Ganach, so do that. If it's Yalula Yalul, if it's the shorter cry, so do that. Says the Gemara, where it's bolded. Right? There was a suffix. Rabbi Abba comes to uproot the suffix. A malik implants that suffix. They try to defend the cry of their grandfather Esav. They try to continue the mission of Esav, like he was appointed, like the Yalkut Shimoni we started with, to destroy Yaakov. And they plant the suffix. Comes along Rabbi Abba and says, I'll uproot the suffix. Right? Misafkulei genuchei ganach iyulule yalo. I'm not sure which of the cries caused that extra bracha to be created for Esav. So you know what we'll do? We'll do both cries also. We'll do the tzaka, we'll do the genuchei ganach, we'll do the longer cry, and we'll do the yulule yalo. We'll do the whimper also. We'll do the shorter cry. And the Gemara still says, how does that work though? The suffix, there's going to be hefsik, it's not so simple to do that. Says Rabbi Abba, at the bottom, El Rabbi Abba, my iskin, what exactly was this takana? I genuchei ganach havdei. I yulule yalo havdei. Right? The Gemara says, well, really you're going to do a whole series. You're going to do a tekiah and then a shvarim, and then you're going to do a tekiah and a trua, and then you're going to do a tekiah and a shvarim trua. You're going to do every combination to make sure you're covered. What exactly was this takana? Why do I need that third combination, the mix, if I'm going to do both separately either way? Right? Because we need to mix together these two cries the same way Esav mixed together these two cries. And that's why, what does he say at the end? How does he conclude? Ihachi levet nami ipcha, two lines from the bottom. Right? He told us at the beginning, do tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah. So maybe go the other way. Do tekiah, trua, and then shvarim, tekiah. So he says, no, that we don't have to do. Right? That much of a mix we don't have to do. Why? What are the last few words? He says he modeled it after the way people cry. Beresha ganach, v'hadur yal. What's the pshat? What's Rabbi Abba doing? He's doing exactly what Esav did. We don't have to cry before we groan. Esav didn't do that. What did Esav do? He had a tzaka gedola in Pasuk Lamed Daled, and then he had the crying in Pasuk Lamed Ches. Says Rabbi Abba, we're going to model our tkiyah shofar exactly after that. We're going to remove the suffix completely. And it's so fitting, it's so perfect that it's Rabbi Abba, Davka, of all people, to do this. How does this fit? How does this fit the whole life of Rabbi Abba? You can mamish tie it to everything that he says. Take a look at this. Unbelievable. First of all, the Gemara tells us above Metzia, Shufrid Rabbi Abba means Shufrid the Yaakovinu. Right? Rabbi Abba is the one who looked like Yaakovinu. He had the appearance of Yaakovinu. He's the one who's going to defend. If Esav is trying to walk out and take his elbow back, if Amalek is trying to protect, to place a suffix, and to protect the cry of his grandfather, so who's going to come to the rescue of Bnei Bechori Yisrael to Yaakov Avinu? Comes along Rabbi Abba, who looked like Yaakov Avinu. He comes to the rescue. Where did Rabbi Abba live? He's called Rabbi Abba Iskin B'Kesari. He lived in Caesarea. Shufrei, the appearance. Right? The physical appearance of Rabbi Abba was Me'in Shufrei the Yaakov Avinu. He's known throughout Shas as Rabbi Abba D'Kesari. What was Caesarea? Caesarea was the stronghold of Edom, of Esav. That was the stronghold of Edom in Eretz Yisrael. So here we have, again, the Zelu Mazeh of Esav, of Amalek, is Dafka Rabbi Abba. And isn't it interesting that Rabbi Abba, of all people, was someone who had a very strong connection to what mitzvah, of all mitzvahs? Kibbut Avim. Source 20. Tani Avimi Bered Rabbi Abba. Avimi, the son of Rabbi Abba, who was taught by his father the same way Amalek was taught by the one who raised him, Esav. Yesh machil avipisyoni v'tarz min olam. You could feed your father fattened hens and not fulfill mitzvah kibravim. Yesh matchinu b'rechaim. And sometimes you could what? You can have your father grinding in the mill and you'll be getting an olam haba. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Kigon avimi b'ri kiyem mitzvah kibud. You want to see the spitz example of kibravim? Who is it? Who is it? It's Rabbi Abahu's son, who was taught by Rabbi Abahu, obviously. And the Gemara goes on, it says, even though Avimi had had children of his own, whenever Rabbi Abahu would come to visit, he would tell his grandkid, you wait here, I'm going to take care of this myself. He'd run to the door. And as he was running, he would say, in, I'm coming. Right? In Gematria 61, the same as Edom. I have the kalach against Edom, I also have kibud aveim. It's not so pashat that Esav has kibud aveim, and we don't have kibud aveim. We also have kibud aveim. What's Amalek's midah, more so than anything else? It's the midah of Gaiva. So, pashtus is, Rabbi Abahu has to be someone who's known for his humility. We have a statement in the Medrash, Rabbi Abahu says, I used to think I was the most humble Talmid Rabbi Abba of Akko. He had even more humility than me. But Rabbi Abahu has a statement in Maseches Chulin, in Source 21, Amar Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Eli says, Eina ulam iskayim el b'shvil, misha bolim asatso b'shas barifa. Rabbi Eli says, the world exists for one who swallows himself up at a time of a fight. And he puts aside his own feelings. Rabbi Abahu takes it one step further. Mi shemesim atzmo kamisha eino. A person, the world was created for someone who's the ultimate in humility. To counter Amalek. Amalek's gematria Ram. Right? Ram alkol goyim Hashem. Rishis goyim Amalek. They think they're going to dominate Hashem. We're the Rishis. Right? Comes along Rabbi Abahu, the ultimate in bittul. And he says, it's not so simple. It's not so simple that we don't have that same koach to go up against you. And therefore, it's so fascinating of all people. The Mar Moed Katan, at the end of Moed Katan, talks about different people when they died and different things that happened. Trees jumping out of the ground, all sorts of strange things. What happened when Rabbi Abahu died? The one who defends, right? Defends the cry of Klal Yisrael. He fixed it. He's metaken the union of Shofar. In order to what? To make sure that the cry of Esav can't destroy us. Can't remove the El, which is our whole koach of survival. It's the koach of tshuva. Comes along the Gemara in Source 22. Kinach nafshe Rabbi Abahu, achisu amude de ksari maya. When Rabbi Abahu passed away, the pillars, the beams of Caesarea were achisu maya. What does that mean? Says Rashi, horidu demos. Right? The intangible objects started to cry. What's the pshat? Because he's the one who protected the cry of Klal Yisrael. He deserves a cry that even the whole Bria, even the domain, even inanimate objects of Kesari, of Caesarea, should be crying for him. So he's the one to protect the whole institution of tshuva. His takana of shofar, mamish saves the day for Klal Yisrael. And therefore he's the one who's known probably for one of the most important basic statements of tshuva found throughout all of Shas. And that's the Gemara in Brachos in Source 24. The Amar Rabbi Abahu, of course it's Rabbi Abahu, the one who says, "V'makom shabale tshuva omdim, tzadikim gemurim einam omdim." Rabbi Abahu is the one who understands that the place that the Baal tshuva stands, right, is untouchable. It's better than the biggest tzadikim in the world. He's the one who understands the koch of tshuva. Because he spent his whole life, he was metakin, his ultimate takana of tkiya shofar, to ensure that our tshuva wouldn't be ruined. And I think a lot of what we just explained, again, from these Mar Makomos throughout Shas of Rabbi Abahu, the Shitaso, I think a lot of its room is in his name. What's his name? Abahu. What's Pshat Abahu? It's Av, right? I also have the koach of Av. And what's Hay and Vav? Of course, we know from the end of Parshas B'Shach, Kiyad al Kes Ka, Amalek has what osios? What osios does Amalek have in their control that they're holding on? They're being pogim in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei, right? It's the Hay and the Vav. So Rabbi Abahu says, I also have the Inyan of Av. I also have the Inyan of Kibud Av. And I also have the hay and vav. That you think that's your place in the world? You've got the upper hand? You still have a sheikhis, the shame of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? We also have a hand in the hay and the vav. So we take the koch of shofar, again, instituted by Rabbi Abahu. We take that koch of kibud av. We take back the hay and vav of Amalek. And we ensure that our shofar will drown out, right, the cries of Esav. It gets even better, though. I heard a few years ago from Ephraim Waxman, Tavshin Samaches. He said something over from the Bodhisattva Lover of, I think it was his uncle, maybe his great uncle. He was talking about the number of tikkios throughout the entire period of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Right? He said, quoted from his uncle, he said, there's a minhag that some people have. We blow, right, every morning in Elul, we blow tikkia, right, shvarim, trua, and tikkia gadol. But there are some people who blow the full set, Rabbi Abahu's set of tikkios. Right? Tkiya shvarim tkiya, tkiya truat tkiya, tkiya shvarim truat tkiya, Right? A full 10 every single day. And this is something the Bach already discussed as a possibility in Source 25. The Bach, really based on an Aruch, the Aruch seems to say that this is the proper thing to do. That whenever we blow shofar, even biyachid, we have to blow Rabbi Abbo is set. You have to blow the way Rabbi Abbo was metaking. Let's take a look in the second line. V'nira de taimo. What's the pshat in the Aruch? Nimi'achar shetikin Rabbi Abbo mishum safek litkoa tashrat v'tashat v'tarat. Since Rabbi Abbo instituted that you have to blow every combination, imkein kol yachid atokeya b'tzibor ein lo litkoa ela b'seder hazeh. Anytime a person blows the shofar, he has to blow according to Rabbi Abbo's institution. Mishum de'im yitka tashrat or tashat or tarat. If you don't blow this way, what's going to happen? Yisbru ha'shomin shezehu ikra tkiya. People are going to think we have a maskana. Right? This is the way to blow. This is the way to blow. Ve'yavo litos. And they'll make a mistake. U'mishum ha'chika amr d'chol kal tkiyasa d'yachidi mi'bay le'lios asar lo pachos. So therefore, anytime you blow the shofar, you need to blow 10. You need to blow the full set of Rabbi Abbo. Ulefizeh, says the Bach, three lines from the bottom. Ulefizeh kot kios after chol chodesh elol lo yitko pachos v'pachos el kaseder azev lo nagukin. Therefore, according to this, if this is correct, we need to blow 10 sounds every day. Throughout even elol. Even the blowing of elol. Just so we don't make a mistake when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. This is what the Aruch suggested. The Bach says we're not knowing like this. But Rav Waxman didn't quote this Bach, but he pointed out that there is such a minhag to blow 10 sounds a day. And based on Pnimius HaTorah, based on what we've learned tonight, it makes a lot of sense. If you cheshbin out the days of Elul, there are 29 days in Elul. So take off 4 days for Shabbos, and take off Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're left with 24 days. 24 days in the month of Elul, we blow shofar. And we blow 10 sounds each day. 24 times 10 is 240. So before I say what everyone here knows already, let me just finish the Vart from the Bodhis Lover up. Rav Waxman said from his uncle, 240 tekios in Elul, 100 more on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, 100 more on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that's 440, and then the tekiyah gedola of Yom Kippur is 441 b'gematria emes. Right? You come to emes on, you come to that last, we're holding where we need to be holding, we're holding by emes, or where we need to be. But let's go back now. Right? Elul, 24 days, 10 tekiyos each time, 240 tekiyos, exactly 240 tekiyos throughout Elul. Can I get what? Can I get a malik? A malik's gematria, 240. Right? We use our, not so simple a malik that your kibbutz is going to overpower our kibbutz. Rabbi Abbo's institution is going to go with us even into Elul, even into the area of Tekiyah Durashus, right? At least according to this svar. Again, the Bach says we're not knowing like this, but at least in Pnimius, we understand the depth of what stands behind this Aruch. Okay, I want to give a second shot. I know it's late. If anyone needs to go, you're welcome to go. But I want to just give a second shot. Perhaps in how we get Elul. Again, the first shot is that we drown out their cry with our cry, Rabbi Abbo. Right? He has the koach to be misnagid against the malik. Okay, but I want to say a second pshat. And the pshat is that a malik, we know, is often getting ahead of themselves. A malik's always very hasty. They're always rushing. They're jumping in. Even at expense of themselves. A malik jumps in to try to destroy us, right? And they get burnt by it. Like Chazal said, the mashal of the hot bath. But they don't care, they're hasty, they run, they jump in. The whole koach to defeat a malik is what? Is to be in a state of menuch. Is to proceed at the proper pace. So Hashemis writes in Source 26, why is it on Purim? Mashakavu ikra yomto biyom ha-menoach v'omrim shasa nisim b'zman hazeh. Why is Purim? Why is Dafka? We celebrate the day that what? That we rested. Hagam delechor ikra hayin nischon ha-melchama. Shouldn't we celebrate the day that we fought? The answer is no, because you know what a victory over a malik is? A victory over a malik is when we come to rest. The whole avodah of destroying a malik is what? To be levatel a menucha. A malik comes to be levatel our menucha. Like it says, asher karcha baderech. Like it says, v'hayah behayniach timcha. When we come to a state of menucha, we destroy a malik. Because a malik is trying to be mabalbel. Right? They're always trying to get involved in causing us to lose our menucha. They're getting ahead of themselves. So a malik immediately goes rushing to your hedeya, and they say, look, your hedeya simin reish mem, that's us. We also follow the Torah. We also keep the halachos. But they skipped another reish mem. They got ahead of themselves. They skipped over Aruch Chaim. They're rushing ahead to your hedeya. They're holding by Tishrei already. By Tishrei, Ashrei, what do we say by Tekiyah Shofar? By before we blow Shofar? Ashrei Adam Yodei Trua. They're holding by Das. They're holding by your hedeya already. They skipped over Aruch Chaim. What happens in Aruch Chaim, Simin Reish Mem? They're ahead of themselves. They're rushing. A person who gets ahead of himself It's a big mistake. Take a look at Source 27. The Pasuk says in Source 27 in Mishlei, Orachayim pentifalis. If you haven't walked in Orachayim, Na'uma glosel lo teda. You're not holding by Das yet. You're not holding by Yoredeh yet. It's a gaiva that Amalek actually has instituted today. You know, why is it that in Smicha we learn Yoredeh? How many people have mastered Orachayim? I remember back in the day when I was in YU, and I was more foolish than I am now. This was also not a smart way to learn. I also was skipping Orachayim. I hung out in the library a lot. I read a lot of Shalos and Tshuvos. One Tshuva that I remember from the time was a Tshuva from the Chavos Yar that was fascinating. Someone wrote to him, his son was turning bar mitzvah, and he asked him for a Seder in Limud. Right? How should I learn? What should I learn first? What should I learn second? And the Chavos Yar wrote back to him, and he was very critical of the fact that people sometimes get ahead of themselves. He says it's much more important to learn Orachayim, right? As you can see in Source 28, the Chavos Yar, Siman 124. A person has to learn what's appropriate for him in the right order. And he goes on to say that Orachayim, Chilek Orachayim Shocharach, everyone's so busy trying to sound smart, we're getting ahead, we're learning Yoredeya. He even says we're learning Choshen Mishpat. He says, V'nei B'dorasena, where it's bolded. Zeha Chilek HaMuvchar, the best Chilek Orachayim, how to live your life. Right? V'atov, Chilek Orachayim Kishmo Keinu. It's already in the Beis HaChaim. It's in the cemetery. Hu Yosher Shachu v'Galmud Ein Ish Sam Alev Dugmas Maseches Moed Katan Shezacher Bal Sefer Chasidim. The Sefer Chasidim calls Moed Katan a Meis Mitzvah. The Chavos Yar says Or HaChaim in our times we call Meis Mitzvah. It's the Gaiva of Amalek. Let's learn Yoredeh. Let's get ahead of ourselves. Asher Adam Yodei Trua. We're already holding by Tishrei. We've got a merit. It's ours. It's done. The Rishis Hashanah is ours. It's not even a question if Klal Yisrael is going to have a Sheikh. It's the Rishis Hashanah. But they skipped over Or HaChaim. Simin Reish Mem. What's Orachayim Simin Reish Mem? Orachayim Simin Reish Mem are the halachos of Tashmish Hamita. The halachos, the Shulchan Aruch has a whole chapter dedicated to the proper behavior in the bedroom. Right? Kedushas of Ris. And that's where Amalek doesn't have. That's something that Amalek doesn't have. It's far from say at the time that a husband and wife are together and they're creating a child, right? The kavana that they have, the appropriate behavior that they have, Vishas Tashmish, is going to affect the neshama that's brought down for that child. And it's going to affect the kibbutz ava'im that that child will have towards the parents. There's a clear relationship between Orachayim Simin Reish Mem and Yoredeya Simin Reish Mem. But Amalek doesn't have Orachayim. They don't have Orachayim Simin Reish Mem. They don't have the Inyan of Bris Mila. And when they uproot Kedushas of Bris, they lose their Sheikhas to Ella. So even if we don't have our shofar to drown out their cries, even if it's a suffix, even if it's not so simple, the Bach says, Lo Nagu Ken, maybe we don't have the 240 sounds in El to counter Amalek, right? They lose their right to kibbutz ava'im. Because Mizal is something more basic than that, which is the Koach of Bris Mila. The Alpha Shimoni writes in Source 29, Zaro Shal Esav, calls Mancha Yitzchak Kayam, Kimu Aleim Esamila. Amalek, the Zaro Shal Esav. As long as Yitzchak was alive, they kept Rismila. The Kayam Shameis Bitlu Esamila. Amalek, we know, is Misnagi to the concept of Rismila. The Mizalzel, the Indian of Kedushas of Bris. They thought Yitzchak is dead, Kibbut Ava'im is dead, so now Rismila is dead. Right? They didn't understand that Rismila is a prerequisite for Kibbut Ava'im. You can't just live off your merit of Kibbut Ava'im if you don't have Kedushas of Bris. Amalek, we know, is very much mezalzel abris. Source 30. V'yizana b'cha, says Rashi, a couple parashios ago, chotech milos v'zorei klapim ba'al. They would take their bris mila and throw it up to the sky. So apparently the avoda of defeating Amalek is the inyan of shmira sabris. So how does that connect to El? How does that connect to El? So the Sfarim say that Elul and Tishrei are sur meirava asetov. It's pasha that's so. Elul is defense. Elul it's Shmira, right? Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei is already Zechira. It's Yom HaZikaron. It's already the positive aspects, right? Shomer V'Zachar. Elul is a Zman of Shmira. It's a Sormer of Aseh Tov. Tishrei, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, is a Zman of what? It's called Yerach Eitanim, the strong month. Why is it called Yerach Eitanim? One opinion in the Gemara? Because Tukif B'Mitzvos. It's full of positive mitzvos, I say, opportunities. Rashi says you have Lulav, you have Shofar, you have Sukkah, you have Nisuchamayim. Right, there's a lot of opportunities, positive opportunities. Elul is the Inyan of Sor Meirah. And this is a Malik mistake. You can't go on to Aseh Tov. You can't tell me you have the merit of Kibbutz Ava'im if you're not what? If you're not Shomer, the Bris. If you don't have a defense system, you're not holding by that. There's a very scary Berhetiv. Berhetiv in Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph quotes an Arizal. And the Arizal says that essentially if a person does a mitzvah without doing tshuva first, if you don't have an Elul to set you up for Tishrei, if you just want to go to Tishrei, I'll have Averos, but I'll also do mitzvahs to try to balance it out. The Arizal says, you know what it's like? It's like watering weeds. It's like watering weeds. You're taking mitzvahs, you're taking Mayim, Torah, and you're pouring it onto your Averos. and your bears are just going to keep being misgadol. They're going to keep growing. So if I don't stop to do a shmira, I can't come to a tishrei. I'm not zochet to tishrei. We need to do sor meira before we can get to ase tov. And when you say the word ra, sor meira, two things come to mind. When I think ra, I think two things. What's ra? Amalek and bris milah. Amalek and bris milah. The Imre Emes says, Pasuk in Bereishis, rak ra kol hayom, describing the world that once was. It's completely ra. Rak ra kol hayom, says the Imre Emes, sofei tevos Amalek. The root of all ra in the world is who? Is Amalek. It comes from Amalek. And that type of ra, the word ra, which is the ultimate in evil, Russia is not as bad. The Russia comes to the Seder. The Russia has the shin inside, the three-pronged Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ra means kulo ra. It's something that has no potential. There's nothing redeemable from it. When you think of ra, we talk about what? Kedushas HaBris. Source 31. Vayikach Yehuda Isha, le'er b'chol ra. The b'chor, er, osios ra. And what's his chayit? Ushma Tamar. He takes a wife from him. Now he's Tamar. Vayi'er b'chor Yehuda ra be'enei Hashem. V'yimiseyu. And then Onan comes and he does the same thing. He's also ra. What exactly was there ra? What does the word ra mean? A person who's mezalzel in what? Kedushas HaBris. Elul is the avodah of sur meira. It's a time to defeat Amalek, which is known as ra, and it's a time to be shomer, a person to guard himself in the Indian of bris milah, which is also ra. Says Rashi in Source 32. We all know it. Why did Aaron Onan die? Says Rashi, Karaso shel Onan mashes zara, because he was someone who was what? Motzi zara levatala. He was motzi zara levatala. Right? A person who's motzi zara levatala is a person who's not sur meira. A person who's not in control. He's someone who's ra ve'enei Hashem. So to counter Amalek in the month of Elul, to be someone who's sur meira, we need to again be misnagged to the thing that we have to take back that cough that Amalek tries to uproot, the cough of bris milah, which is known as ra, just like Amalek. How do you see that Elul is connected to bris milah? We're getting close to the end, so please hang in there. Apologize if I spoke too much. How do we see that Elul is the zman of milah? So we already know from the Remez that we mentioned earlier, Source 33. Umal Hashem elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarach. We see that there's a connection to milah in the month of Elul. It's possible that there's a connection to milah. But I'll show you something else. I'll take you one step deeper, which is really unbelievable. Whenever we do mitzvos, we have an opportunity to be Hashem Yichud, right? We're being miyachid to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Through our physical actions, we're able to bring out a koach of Shem Hashem. What does that mean? The Arizal says, take tzedakah, for example. Right? Take tzedakah. You take a coin. You put it in your hand. You stretch out your hand and you give it to the ani. What have you done? You've done a lot more than tzedakah. You've created, you just acted out yud kevavke. You took the coin, which is a yud, the smallest dot, the quarter out of your pocket. You put it in the five fingers of your hand, that's a head. You stretched out your hand, that's the vav, and you put it into the hand, the five fingers of the ani on the other side, yud kevavke. Right? The Ben Ish Chai explains, my father always tells us, Shur Ritz Hashem, many of you know my father, I guarantee when you get engaged, I'll tell you this, the second you get engaged. He says, when you get married, you need to make sure you know the following. Right? You take the ring, which is a yud. You take it in your hand, which is a hay. Your wife will, Ritz Hashem, stick out her finger. The kala will stick out her finger. That's the vav. And then she'll take the ring into her rishos, into her hay, into her hand. Whenever we're doing mitzvos, we're being miyachay to Kodesh Baruch Hu, yudkev, okay, this applies to many, many mitzvos. When it comes to bris milah, the Ben Ish Chai wrote a very small sefer. There's a little sefer called Malach HaBris. It's drushos on bris milah on every parsha in the Torah. Ben Ish Chai has some connection to bris milah on every parsha. It's a fascinating little sefer. So he writes in Parshas Lech Lecha on page 18 the following. He quotes Rabbeinu Bachaya, who says that milah, right, when a milah is performed, it has something to do with the Shem HaMiyuchad. Somehow, through the process of milah, you're bringing down Yudkei Vavkei. And he goes on and quotes from the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov in the name of Mikubalim, who say, where's the Yudkei Vavkei? Where's the Yudkei Vavkei? The Mo'el takes his two hands, hey and hey. The Bris Milah, right, is the Vav. We know that Milah is associated with the Os Vav. And by performing the removal of the Arla and uncovering the Atara, the tip of the Milah, that's the Yud. Right? So you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. The only problem is it's not in order. The other ones are so much nicer, right? The Tzedakah, you took the Yud, you put it in the Hay, the Vav Hay. Right? Same thing by the wedding. Why by the Milah, it's not as nice. The Mol takes his two hands and he approaches the Vav and he makes it to a Yud. It's Hey Hey Vav Yud. That's what the Ben Ish Chai brings down. But it's Pashat. Oh, my father's B'nai Sassachar and knows the answer. It's Pashat. Why? It's even nicer than the other two. What's the Shem of Aya? What's the Tziruf of Hashem's name for the month of Elul? Hey, hey, Vav Yud. Hey, hey, Vav Yud. So you see, the whole Indian of Elul is the Indian of Shmiras HaBris. It's the Indian of fighting Amalek by being in control of Milah. A malik is the one who's mezalzel bris mila, like Rashi told us. A malik, the one the Baal Turim says, nechashalom zosi, is nachash and mila. The mezalzel, they need a bris mila. So it's this time of year that a person dafka, if he wants to make sure that a malik doesn't have a koach of what? Of kibbut ha'vein. Let's say we don't have a shofar to counter them. Then we need to make sure that we're shomer what the inyan of arachayim simin reishman. Right? Daily basics. Shmiras habris. If a person not shomer is bris, then a malik can say, well, I'm not shomer the bris either. Let's go on to Yerodeya and talk. Let's see who's got the upper hand in Yerodeya. Let's move on to more advanced halachas. And that's why if a person, why does the Zohar say in Parshas Noach, of all chatah, a person who's motzi zera levatala, there's no tshuva. Why is there no tshuva? There are a lot of bad averas out there. Why is dafka the inyan of a person who's pogim in the inyan of bris mila, he loses tshuva? Because if you understand the whole avodah of El is sur meira. The whole avodah of El is to counter a malik, which is ra. To counter the midah of erva onen, right? Of hashchas zera levatala, which is the inyan of ra. Our whole right to El, which is the zman of tshuva, is tala in bris mila. If you're mezalzel in bris mila, there's no tshuva for bris mila. There can be no makeup when a person is mezalzel in kedushas of bris. Okay, one final point. Right, we know there's a strong relationship also between Eretz Yisrael and bris mila. I'll say this part quickly, and you can think about it on your own. Source 34: V'charosi mo habris l'seisus eretz haknani. If we want to come to Eretz Yisrael again, like the Bnei Yisachar told us earlier. Moshe is davening to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ace are the two letters of right, Ayin and Tav, the two letters of Elul. We also want to come to Tishrei, which is a bechina of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the rishis; it's the starting point of the Bria. Right? Moshe Wilson talks about Munis Yitecha. Zev and I learned it this past Shabbos. The Evan Chesia, the starting point of the Bria. Right? Just like there's a starting point in time, which is Tishrei, there's a starting point in place, which is what? Which is the Makom HaMikdash, which is Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there's a relationship between what? Between Bris Mila and Eretz Yisrael. You're not shayach to what? You can't have a shayach to Eretz Yisrael if a person is pogim in the Bris. And that's why the Medrash says in Source 35, describing a malik tries to block us from entering Eretz Yisrael. The same way that a malik tries to block us from coming to Tishrei, which is Eretz Yisrael in time, they try to block us from entering Eretz Yisrael, the place, right? Which is the same bechina of Rishis. Again, that same struggle over Rishis. Evan Chesia, Bikurim, and a malik. Now you see the struggle here. Source 35. Umara leishiv lo asapar. Why does a malik sit on the border? Al derech nisnasan shel Eretz Yisrael, shel Yisrael la'aretz, to block Yisrael from entering Eretz Yisrael. Kach tivo, Esav zikno. It's a hemshech of Esav zavoda. Right? It's the Indian of blocking Bnei Yisrael from getting to the rishis. So we spend all this time, we work on ourselves, we work on the Indian of bris mila, right? Of sur meira, to prepare ourselves to come to Rosh Hashanah, to come to our rishis, to show that we really are the ones who have a sheiches to the rishis. We're zocha, hopefully, to fulfill his halich lefanai ve'yetamim, the source for bris mila, right? His halich lefanai gives us a zchus to be zocha to lifnei Hashem titaru. It's the same, right? The same lifnei lefanai. It's the same avoda to be zocha lifnei Hashem titaru. And we daven on the Am Noram. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki ta'avir memshelas zadon min haaretz. Remove the memshelas zadon. Who's the Memshelah Zadon that we're davening on the Am Noram? We're begging Hashem enough already. Get rid of the Memshelah Zadon, the evil oppressor, the evil empire. Who's the Memshelah Zadon? The Ramchal explains that the Memshelah Zadon is a Malik. And he brings a proof in the Pasuk in Mishlei. What's the source? Mishlei says, Zayd Yahir, the Indian of Zayd, the Indian of Zadon, of Mazid. Zayd Yahir, the one who's Mahir, the one who's quick, the one who's rushing, like we said, that's a Malik. Late Shemal, who's the late? Of course it's a Malik. The whole Indian of the Memshelah Zadon is a Malik. What's the gematria of Zadon? 67. What's the gematria of Elul? 67. Because the whole avoda of being removing the Memshelah Zadon starts in Elul. If we're mamshich this Indian of Kedushas of Bris onto ourselves in Elul, then we're zochet to remove what? The Memshelah Zadon min Aretz. We're zochet to alifnei Hashem titaru. If we fulfill his alich lefanai ve'etamim, we get rid of that suffix. And we can stand on the Yom Naram and say, Havadai Shemo Kein Tilaso. We come to a state of Vados. We're able to come to a state where Aaron HaKohen can say, Bizos, Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. Right? Bizos. Where is Zos? Right? Zek Kelim, and you can point to it. It's clear. It's a Vadai. Zos is Rashi Tevos. Zachor Al Tishkach. It's the whole avodah of removing a Malik. The more we work to remove a Malik, the more worthy we are to come to Yom Kippur. And of course, the Sasemes says, what body part corresponds to Yom Kippur? We learned this like 5 years ago in Muncie. Between, right? The Sfasemis, I remember in Shul, we're learning this. That piece of Sfasemis. Sfasemis says, what's the body part of Yom Kippur? Of course, it's the Bris Mila. Because that brings us full circle. Right? To be Zocher, a Malik, to be Mamlos, the Indian of Zos, Zachor al Tishkach, if we're zocher, the Indian of a malik, we remember properly, we're zocher to a yom hazikaron. We can come to a proper zechira. Right? A malik is the miniature zechira that brings us to Rosh Hashanah, which is the big zechira. And as I was finishing this shir today, and I was not sure how much of it was true, certainly interesting, but I'll leave it to you to judge. Right? You know, a person has to always be looking for a baskal. To be listening for a baskal. I've spoken about this in the past at Hask this summer. I shared the baskal that I found. Whenever I have a suffix about a shir, I always look for a baskal. Right? Here is Baal Shem Tov. You know, a baskal comes out every day from our Chorev and says, Oilem Lebrios Me'avon Shel Torah. Why don't we hear the baskal? Why don't we hear the baskal? Okay, you have to train your ears to the Baal Shem Tov to hear the baskal. The baskal could be a flat tire. The baskal could be, you know, a difficult day. A baskal could be something good also. Right? Any stories of baskal. Was it this summer? I was talking about publishing our book, and I found that thing. Right, it's easier than ever to get published. So I walk into the library today, and the first thing that greets me in TABC's library is the New York Times. Of course, the sports section has already been plucked out and lying right on top. What in big bold headlines? What's the cover of the sports section today in the New York Times? Defense removes all doubt. Defense removes all doubt. Right? If a person is sor meira, then he removes the whole Indian of a malik. Right? A malik to gematria suffik. He comes to Yom Kippur, he can say, Havad Eshmo, Kinti Lassa. If we play a proper defense, then a malik doesn't have his chus. Even if we don't have the shofar, even if we don't have our cry connected to their cry, then he doesn't have his chus. Rabbi Nachman talks, the whole avodah of El is what? The whole avodah of El, your famous piece in Lukvit Maran, Torah Vav, to be a baki, beratzo, v'shov, and Rabbi Nachman says, baki times two is derech. Right? The Stuchin Rebbe said, derech, asher karcha v'derech. El is the zman, to fight off an amalek, to fight back, and to make sure that we can walk out and say, El is ours. Right? You may have a little bit of a shaykhus to it, to El and other. But be'etzem, the months of a malik are really ours. A malik, you're not going to have an achris. You can have it temporarily. But at the end of the day, it's ours. So I'll be messiah with the final source, the Gemara and Megillah. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikin, the same Ezra. Same Ezra was metakin all sorts of things in Shmira Sabris. Right? For a person who's a Valkari. The same Ezra was metakin in Yisrael, Shayu Korin Klalos Shabbat Torah's Quranim Kodim Atzeres, Vishem Mishnah Torah Kodim Rosh Hashanah. Why do we read the klalos? Why do we read the tochah this past Shabbos? My timeo, Amar Rabbi Vitema Reish Lakish, Kedei Shetichla Hashana V'Kilosah. So we can put an end to the year and its klalos, but you can also read it a little differently. Kedei Shetichla Hashana V'Kilolos Yudhei. We've been suffering the klal of Yudhei for a long time. Warren Irvin says the world exists today on Yudhei. A malik has the vachet, right? It's a tefillah. It's a tefillah that as we put the klalos behind us, right, as we start to work through this process of tshuva. And to come to a Rosh Hashanah, to come to a Rashis, to have the Indian of the shofar, the more bent it is, the Gemara says, the better, the more humble it is, the counter Amalek was Ram. Right? The more we work on this Indian of playing defense, right? Again, this twofold response to Amalek's cry, either to counter his cry with our cry, but if not, at the very least to uproot his shaychas to Yoredeya Simin Reish Mem, by strengthening ourselves in our Chaim Simin Reish Mem. Here's Hashem, we should all be Zocha to Lefnei Hashem Titaru in the merit of His Alech Lefanai. Shkoyach.